I was on the edge of my seat. When he said that, you can't know if you're born again or not, I relaxed. Now I thought, if I can know if I'm born again or not, then I surely must be, for I am such a good person. The war was raging for my soul. He knew these meetings were going on. He went home from church. It was not a surprise to me to see that little car come back in the driveway that afternoon again. About half an hour after we got home, there comes that little car again. Jackie came in and very friendly, visited for a while, and we were very friendly. Of course, we didn't show any conviction at that time. Finally, she couldn't hold it anymore. She said, well, I thought I'd stop in and invite you to come to the meeting tonight since you got saved yesterday. I said, look, Jackie, I said, I didn't get saved yesterday. I lied to those men. Can't know if you're saved or not. He begged for us to come to the meeting that night. I knew if I'd give my little finger, she'd take my whole hand. I also knew that if we'd go to that meeting and nothing would happen there, then I knew that it wouldn't matter. No one would get in trouble. I also knew that if we go to those meetings and something does happen, it won't matter what people say anymore. God was working in my life. I said, okay, we'll go with you. So we did. She went away as happy as could be, I'm sure. We did our chores, and someone came and picked us up. I forget who it was. We had known quite a bit of the church people because they had been in and out of Denny's there for 3 years. So the church was not new. There was, of course, some new faces there, but most of the people we probably knew. They were all very glad to see us, I'm sure. The church was praying, Daniel. The church was praying. You know, I'd like to know sometime what you guys really did with us there. I know they carried us in their hearts. We heard a real good message that night. Such a powerful message. I'd never heard a preacher like that before. I'd never been in a church like that before. But I was like this. Like this. Let me encourage you today. If you're like this in your heart, just let it down. Let your guards down. Let the Lord Jesus work in your life. If you don't know for sure if you're saved today, let your guards down. They sang that moving song during an invitation, and I didn't understand what was going on, and I was not going to move. I didn't move either. I was proud. I was Amish. They were so friendly. Brother Denny came to me afterwards, sat down beside me, and he just, talked as friendly as could be. And I was this miserable wretch. Finally, he said, wouldn't you want some more counsel? The guy said, I would. Went downstairs there in the basement in New Holland. They put me in this room. I was alone for probably half an hour. They were busy with other things, and I just waited. That's why Brother Mose came in, and he began to share with me and began to show me a few things about my religion that was wrong. And I had some questions. I asked some questions. There had been some people that had left the Amish church that I could not understand why they would leave. People who I knew had been sincere. And I would ask the preachers, or I would ask someone, why did they leave the church? And no one could tell me. Some would hint and say, well, they said they got born again. They think they're saved. I didn't know what that really meant, so I didn't really care, but that was in my background. But I had questions. Why are they excommunicating these people for no sinful reason? And Brother Mose, he began to teach me on that and show me that they're putting the people out of the church when they get born again. And God began to open up my eyes. And I released my people, my religion, my Amish in my heart. I let it go. I knew. I began to realize that being Amish would not save you. And when I realized that, then I had no foundation. I had nothing to stand. But I stood and see that I was really lost. Brother Denny came in. Brother Wayne came in. We prayed. Sat up and talked and confessed. And they dug and they searched and they sought God. We prayed some more. And nothing happened. And finally, Brother Wayne said, "The Lord just spoke to me and said, 'You're involved in witchcraft.'" I said, "Witchcraft? Not me. Me." "Yeah," he said, "the Lord just told me you're involved in witchcraft. You know, water witching, kinesiology, muscle testing. You know, what about the Ouija board and read the name, a whole bunch of things." And I'm like, "Yes? Yes? Yes? Yes?" The Lord began to open up my eyes. "Well, yeah, I have my great-grandfather, King. Yeah. He was a water witcher. And when I was a little boy, I remember going to his place. And we asked him to take that pliers in his hand and walk across the floor, and he did. That pliers would just suddenly fly out of his hands with power and hit the ground. But water witching. We as little boys, we picked up that pliers and we tried to do it. And we walked right across the same spot. Nothing would happen." Yep, Wayne said, "That's it. I knew it." I said, "What else?" And he looked, you know, we talked about muscle testing. You know, putting some pills in your arm, you know, and having someone try to push your arm down to see if it's the right kind of pills for you. You know, muscle testing. Witchcraft. And what about reading the horoscope in the newspaper? You know, they're next to the funny page where you find your birth date and you measure up the, put these, line these numbers up with the words and you find out what your horoscope says for the day. Witchcraft. What about the Farmer's Almanac, planting according to the moon? Witchcraft. And then the Lord showed me that I'd play with the Ouija board. 14, 15-year-old boy, our neighbors had a Ouija board, we played with the game. Didn't mean anything. Wayne was excited, but now, I knew you were in witchcraft, and the Lord showed me that, I knew that. You need to repent. You need to confess. Get on your knees and repent to God. Confess it all. I did. The Lord opened up my eyes. I saw my sinfulness for the first time. And I immediately saw a need for a Savior. And I cried out, "Save my soul, sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. Oh, Lord, save my soul." That old devil was cast out. Power, Christ, real. I confessed, I repented, cried out. I looked at these three men on their knees beside me. And there was an overwhelming love flowing out of my heart for these men. The first thing I said was, "You guys are my brothers." They knew I was born in the family. Hallelujah. It wasn't a big feeling. It was a relief. Oh, I wasn't even sure what happened. It took me days and weeks to finally catch up to what God actually did in my life. I remember being on my knees, confessing my sins and
Brother Denny led me to that scripture that says, except you forsake father and mother and houses and wives and lands and children, and yea, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. He said, you need to forsake these things. This was the day before. Well, I said, well, how do I do that? He said, you just give them to God. Just give them to God. Everything that's precious to you, give them to God. I did that. Prayed that prayer. Lord, I give you my wife, children. I give you my farm, my cows, my bank account. I give you my family, my church. Lord, I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wasn't much to it. When I got saved, I knew what I'd done. And they belonged to the Lord. I knew the farm. I knew my family, church, the whole thing. It was clear. Clear as a bell. The line was clearly drawn down the middle. All of a sudden, I was on this side of the fence. It was just so clear. All of a sudden, I was now on the same level as those other Amish people who got excommunicated. Now I knew I was one of them in spirit. I knew, like the blind man, I would also be excommunicated. Put in a band. I knew that. Did that matter? Not a bit. Joy of salvation. Joy of deliverance. The freedom from bondage. The assurance of salvation. Oh, glory to God. Well, we jumped and shouted some there at church that night. Brother Denny was one of them. Imagine. And this is probably midnight, 1 o'clock at night. He took us home. I was a new man. I was a new man. I saw my people were lost. I saw that my people were lost. When I saw that I was lost, then I saw that my people were lost because I was one of them. Then I cried out for a Savior, and I was saved. My people were not. We went to some more meetings. Praise God. They went for 3 weeks. Went to those meetings. 2 more weeks, just about every night. What a joy. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts got so cleaned up. We were so full of the glory of God. Others were getting saved. Other Amish families were getting saved. It was glorious. It was a revival. Thank you, Lord, for saving me in the midst of that. Thank you, Lord, for touching me in the midst of that. Of course, persecution began to set in. Not really persecution, just opposition, I should say. It wasn't persecution. My parents found out about it. I remember so well the next morning, the day after I got saved, we got to bed late that night, got up late. I was still out milking the cows, probably at 7 o'clock, and that was an hour late. That was terrible. Of course, a buddy comes driving the lane. I thought, well, now that is very unusual. What would that be? It was an Amishman that I knew well, lived a mile up the road. And by the way, our Dolly Inn was empty at that time, and we were looking for renters again. So he came and said his sister's moving that day, or his brother, and they needed a place to move to. He said, would you allow them to move into your house? Well, this couple, I knew them. I wouldn't even consider them having them move into our house. The last time this couple, I would have wanted to have them neighbors to us. But God did a work in my heart. And I said, sure. I said, we'd be glad to have them move in. I was really looking forward to witness to him. And, well, he says, well, okay, we'll have them move in then. And he's ready to walk out of the milk house door. I'm there watching the milkers, and he's ready to go. And I just looked at him and I said, I just want to let you know that I believe the same way that Aaron Byler's do. I got saved last night. He just turned around and he ran away. He was afraid. This awful plague
of salvation had fallen upon me. Glory to God! I had so much fun a couple of days, the next couple of days, surprising the Amish people. I was still a normal Amish person to them. They hadn't marked me off yet. And I stopped at a buggy shop, picking up my buggy wheels, and it was right across the road from another Amish family that was had gotten saved and was coming to meetings. And I just got my wheels, you know, and paying my bill. And I said to him, "Well, what do you know about the family and the drive over there?" "Oh," I said, "yeah." I said, "I don't understand what's going on." He said, and he just went off talking, you know, talking the kind of gossip type things that go around, things like that. And he said, "I just don't understand what they're doing. I don't know why. Why would they do something like that?" Looked him in the eyes and I said, "I didn't understand either till last night that I got born again." I said, "Seek and ye shall find." He's like, he was so afraid. I went from his place in the next drive, of course. Went to visit the Amish family that got saved, and we had a grand time just sharing together. That's glorious. Salvation. Full, free, deliverance. Power to witness and a desire to pray, a desire to just share with everyone. I'd be driving down the road with my horse and buggy, you know, kind of slow compared to a vehicle. And people walking along the road, like going through intercourse, going through town there, I just so intently peer in their face. I wonder if he knows the Lord. You know? All right, but does he know the Lord? Of course, some people have their heavy faces, you know, and loaded with sin and guilt, and I knew they didn't know the Lord. And every once in a while, you meet someone with a joy, just a smile, you know. I begin to analyze all my family. Wonder if my dad ever got saved. What about my mom? I don't think they were ever saved. What about my brothers and sisters? Never did. They never told me. What about my uncles, my aunts, all my cousins, and dad? No one. None of them had ever witnessed, talked about Christ that I knew of. Salvation. God saved my soul. Okay. He pulled me out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a rock. And put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall hear thereof and shall trust in the Lord. When you get saved, many should hear about that and should trust in the Lord. I have to say my family is still not saved. I long that they would come to Christ. But it was very difficult for my family. It was very difficult for the church, the Amish church. They didn't know about it for 2 weeks. We went to church 2 weeks later, after the last meeting was over, and went to church. It was a council meeting, and that's where everything has to come out. And my wife and I had agreed together that if they say that we can't, if they say something about these meetings that were held, because it was quite a stir, people got saved, and quite a stir among the Amish people. And we agreed that morning that if the minister would say something about against these meetings, that we would disagree with the council. And you don't do that. You don't disagree with the council. But they did say something about these meetings and said that anyone that went to those meetings could not go on the communion 2 weeks later. So we both spoke up and said we don't agree. And the church was shocked. They were shocked. They knew that I was a good Amishman in their eyes, in my eyes. And I know that I was one that was growing up. And, you know, I was pushing and I was in the work and I was doing what was right and I was doing my best. And they knew that. And when I made that sudden switch, they could not understand. My dear wife, she gave her heart to the Lord a couple days later after I did. We were one. We stood together. We prayed together. Worked together. Thank you, Lord, for a precious wife like her.
God bless you, Mama. That Sunday evening, it was Monday evening, the buggies started rolling in our lane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ministers sitting in our living room. Their wives. Granddad was there. He was a deacon. My uncle was there. He was a deacon. They're all sitting in a circle, just visiting. Of course, I wasn't going to open up and say anything right away. This was heavy stuff. They opened up and they began to talk and ask questions, and we just shared. And I said, "Well, yeah, I said I'm born again." My wife and I sat in the corner that night on a little couch and just bawled. Just bawled. Conflict, the war was still raging. Satan had lost one of his servants and was wanting to get him back again. They left us that night just bawling. We cried. We wept. The Word of God was so precious. The Bible opened up. Power. God speaking right to our hearts. Many times I'd look at the Bible, I'd read a verse or two, and I'm just like, that is so powerful. It would minister to my heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It really is. If it wouldn't have been for God's Word, we would not have been able to stand. God's Word was so clear, and the Spirit of God was working in our lives. We did face a lot of trials that summer. We had some friends and they'd gotten saved and we were kind of back and forth with them, and Brother Denny in his wisdom asked if he could teach the godly home in our homes that summer. And he did. We met like every Thursday night, every other Thursday night or so. And he came and he taught the godly home to 6 or 7 young Amish couples, small children. What a blessing that was. I remember he preached the first message. After he's done, we fell on our faces and repented. We didn't know better. We didn't know what we were doing. The next time he preached the second message again, after he's done preaching, we fell on our faces and repented again. And the third time, and the fourth time, 6 messages he gave, every time we'd fall on our faces and repent. But God was teaching us how to raise children. We'd learned some about raising children through the bedroom wall. Denny's lived there. We'd hear these children, you know, we'd hear a squabble over there, and after it we'd hear this, you know, just slow, calm, whack, whack, you know, whack. Whack! 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 I say to my wife sometimes that we learned to train children through the bedroom wall. We did. What an example. Godly example. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Daniel. God bless you as you go. You were a part of it, Daniel. Those children were so godly. And we wanted godly children. They put a vision in our hearts. During that summer, I don't know, it must have been before he was teaching in our homes there. Late that spring, I came to the place where, you know, we were kind of seesawing back and forth. Well, you know, God's working in our lives, but Amish, the pull of our religion, the pull of our system was so powerful. It looked so right on the outside. Our people looked so godly. They looked so humble. Even though we knew the truth now. But the pull of the system was so powerful. There came a day that spring that I told my wife, I said, we're going to take a stand here. We're not leaving the Amish church. We're going to stay here. And we knew that we had to tell them, you know,
the charity people that if they come, we have to tell them to leave because we decided to stay Amish. It was on a Monday morning we decided that. The turmoil, our hearts, back and forth. And that week, a rough week. There was an unrest in my spirit. There was a cloud that had come upon me. I didn't know why. I remember so well Saturday, around noontime, this little white Isuzu pickup. I was driving in the lane. Brother Mo sits there and, "Well, how you doing, Brother Emmanuel? God bless you." "Oh, we're okay. No. We decided we're going to stay Amish, and you guys have to leave." "Oh, you can't do that. That's fornication. That's committing adultery. You've given your life to Christ. You can't do that. You've got to go. You've got to follow Jesus." He preached to me. And he preached some more to me. And I withered. And I repented. And he went back out that driveway and I knew. The cloud had left. My walk with God was clear again. Thank you, Lord. I knew the direction God wanted us to go. Never again did I waver. Well, I see my time is up. God has been good to us. And I know that not everyone's conversion is so dramatic. But it's my heart's desire that if you're caught in religion, if you've been baptized, but you don't have that assurance of salvation, seek God. Seek the Lord. He may be found. Let go of the system and embrace Christ. Embrace Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Washes us through and through. Makes us clean. Makes us pure, makes us holy by His own righteousness. So we kneel for prayer. Father, Abba, Father, with great joy we call upon You. We embrace Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for salvation full and free. We thank You, Father, for the precious blood that was shed for me. We thank You, Father, for the power of Christ, for the strength of Christ, the kingdom of God. We thank You, Father, You do save those who come, who are needy, who see that they're lost, who see that they're blind. Thank You, Father, the way You work in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that if there be anyone here today, that they would no longer wait. They would no longer live under the cloud. They would no longer live under the religion, the religious disguise and hypocrisy. But come to Christ, be saved. That many would hear thereof and fear God and trust in the Lord. Father, I give You praise. I thank You, Lord, for the godly people who were an influence in our life. Oh God, I pray, take Daniel and Christy. Cause them to be a godly influence everywhere they go, Father. I ask You to bless them with that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I was thinking a little bit as Manuel was sharing that how he was neighbors there to Denny, I guess, for 3 years or whatever the time was, and it was another year or so. I didn't add up all the years, 4 or 5 years, I guess, from the time he met Denny until God saved him. But then he encountered a nation. We sang it this morning. in one of the hymns where it said the nations of the world. I guess that was in Joy to the World. And a nation, when the Bible uses the word nation, it isn't just some big country like the United States. It's a group of people, is how the Bible means it. And Denny encountered a nation, a group of people, and God was there and God worked. And I guess I made the application, or I thought in my mind about Daniel going, and I wonder who will live in the mud hut next door to him or across the path or behind the path. And it may be 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, but God is faithful, and we need to see down the road how God works in people's lives and how God finds that window that unlocks the door to their heart. And it may take a lot of times of visiting and praying and understanding their hearts and relating to them. And I'm sure Denny made a lot of mistakes. He didn't know all the right things to say, and he didn't understand how the Amish think and feel, but God's faithful, and that day came and conviction fell. So I think that's something for all of us to apply to our own lives, wherever you live and wherever I live. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to hear a testimony this morning of the saving power through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I think this morning we'll just open it up maybe for a few minutes. See if someone has something to share. You mind the Lord, either from the first message or on the testimony here that we have heard. If you would raise your hand, and we have some microphones we can get to you. Go ahead.
Yes, with the first message, verse 11 there, said when Peter came to himself after he passed through all the gates, I had to think, you know, why did he have to come to himself? Was he in a dream or in a daze? But then you go back to verse 7, and it says that the angel had to smote him to wake him up. He knew where he was going the next morning. He knew where he'd been for the last few days. But God had given him that perfect peace, that rest. He was committed to God. He knew, no matter whether he was here or there, that he was going to be with his Heavenly Father. And do we have that rest when we're in that persecution? You know, are we at peace with our Heavenly Father and those around us? It says here the angel had to smote him, and he probably really didn't get awake because he was at such peace until he got through to that outer gate. And then when the angel left him, he was like, this is real. I'm not sleeping. Thank you for both messages.
Amen. Down front over here. Brother Ed.
Yeah, I was going to... It says here in Revelation, he read a verse, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is nothing more powerful.
That's right.
As the testimony of the Lord, of how his saving power is. And it took me back to the time that I got born again. About 10 minutes after I was born again, I cried for my brothers and sisters. I seen they were lost. The religion was just like that. My eyes were open, and I recognized where I was at. For we are, here's a verse I want to read. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're wrestling against when we're ruling the world. So we... Prayer is very powerful, so we need to lift up our missionaries always in prayer. The devil is out. He's desiring to have the soul of men, but the Lord should have him. He will prevail. That we'll pray for you, Daniel and Christy. We'll lift you up in prayer.
Praise the Lord for that message. I thank the Lord Jesus for his mercy on me. I've come to appreciate God's conviction on my heart and realize that that's God's love for me, and be zealous therefore and repent before God, because he wants to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me with His blood. And I just praise the Lord for showing me much of my selfishness and pride in my heart and not praying for those that are lost and reaching out to others. And I just praise the Lord for everyone that spoke today and laboring in the Word and speaking God's truth this morning.
Thank you. All right. If that's all, then we'll just continue with the service. God bless each one. The power of a testimony is a wonderful thing. And I, like Brother Emmanuel, in his appeal, that if you're here and there's some of this in you or resistance, or maybe you're here and you know, when you hear a testimony and you know there's something in your spirit, you know that's real. Something bears witness in your heart that testimony you've just heard is true. It's right. And there's something that can do that. And then you wonder about your own testimony, or you wonder even if you have one. And that may be, you know, God just speaking to your heart, trying to show you where you're really at. And you know, we can even be here at Charity and be trapped in religion, Brother Emmanuel. It doesn't have to be the Amish church. God forbid it, and yet we have to be honest, don't we? It can happen here. So don't just transfer what he said and say, oh, that's for those. No, that's for these. You know, that's for us too. So may God speak to your heart and my heart today. Well, let's continue worshiping the Lord through song and also the morning offering.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.